Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
People think of a seance, they think of around the turn of the century, 100, some of the spiritualists of that era. In fact, communicating with the dead has been going on much longer than that. Tonight, our show is going to be discussing seances and spiritual insight with your host, Darren Bouquet.
Thank you for listening to Spiritual Insight this Sunday. Discuss a little bit about seances, why, where, how, and how come. Maybe, I don't know. That would be a good idea. How are you this evening, Daniel Michael?
Doing well. Kind of a dull night, you know.
Yeah, I'm a little under the weather from the last, 4 days here in New Orleans. It's been a little bit crazy, a little bit rainy on actual Halloween, so I was out there running around in that whole mess. But, just kind of vitamin C and getting through it, so that whole thing.
Yep.
Otherwise, I've had a nice, peaceful day at home today. It's been nice.
Right. Our topic is seances.
So when we think about a seance, a seance could be up to, two people, three people. Traditionally, a lot of the time, people would want to include seven or nine, both mystical numbers. The more people you have, reportedly, the more power you'll be able to expand into sending into a conduit into the spirit realm to kind of pull spirits into your line of either questions, messages, that sort of thing. And power is connected by a circuit of holding hands and kind of drawing that energy into it. So when we look at that, we see that there's something really powerful there. As far as seances for me go, I think that there needs to be I've been hired to do seances all over the country, and I usually don't take them because, honestly, it's something that there has to be a good reason for the seance. So when we're looking at why we're bringing to mind and opening a channel in the spirit, I can open a channel through my spirit guide and just ask direct questions. So when we're having a seance, we're looking at a lot of theatricality, a lot of, almost ritualistic sort of movement and indirection and talking. And to me, it says, why is this so important? And what other spirits are we kind of getting in contact with when we're doing this, as opposed to just the spirit we want to talk to. And I could funnel a straight energy through my spirit guide into just asking for Grandma, you know, Betsy, because she was just really important, and we want to know that she's okay. That's something I think that would be a better idea than including a whole group of people into a table session. And almost, this is where the somnambulists in the turn of the century would do the table tipping or the shaking of the table. This gave them a lot of room to kind of create these faux experiences for their client. And to me, that's obviously not kosher, and not something that really promotes any sort of positivity in my business. And you also have the other end of it, which is the other end of it is this. There is a lot of real genuine connectivity there. There's a lot of real genuine spiritualism where they did get contact with ectoplasm, seeing actual physical manifestation of electromagnetic energy through spirit, almost like phlegm, expelling out through an actual living person. And when you see that, I mean, that's wonderfully amazing proof of spiritual activity, but then it's like, what are you contacting, and why is it doing this, and what do you hope to gain from this? And if what you hope to gain is just an exotic curiosity, then there may be something karmically unsound about what you're doing, in my opinion.
Right.
What do you think, Daniel?
I think some people, including Harry Houdini, dedicated the rest of their lives to disprove the mediums and to disprove these seances. Now, the interesting aspect of that is that sometimes, and some of the people who wanted to do this, it was because they had a spiritual experience themselves, so they went and investigated these things in an attempt to make sense of it and sometimes to disprove it. So it's a really funny mixture of a little bit of admitting something's really out there with a little bit of fraud and a little bit of curiosity, even from non-believers, some of them like obsessed with trying to find the truth about these things that were people that were excellent in other areas of their life, but let it become kind of an obsession. And I think that's exactly part of the danger.
Obsession is never a good thing to bring into ritual. And what you're looking at with a seance is ritual. It's a ritual.
Yeah.
It is a ritual as old as humanity, okay? Lighting a fire, calling upon spirits, asking that they be present, asking that they answer questions, asking that they make their presence known. I mean, since we've been breathing air, this has been happening. So when we go into it in an obsessive context, that can be quite dangerous. I actually was asked to do a seance maybe last week I talked to this person contacted me through the store. They wanted to do a seance, and we talked about it, and I think I might have mentioned this last week, but we decided not to do it because I said, quite frankly, well, everyone in the circle needs to have a reason for the seance, like someone they want to contact.
Yeah.
Otherwise, why are they in the circle? Now, if they're there to just add power, then that might be okay, but if they're there to just because it's a curiosity and, you know, they're here for Halloween in New Orleans, then that's just kind of something that just, to me, didn't really add up to something that I would want to really put my name on or get behind, because the reason I get so much interactivity from my spirit guide and from other agencies that I contact is because it's all proactive for people to help people. And so that's why I get the kind of information I get, and that's why I have such an open channel. So if I'm opening that channel because everybody wants to have a fun party, then maybe I'm, you know, sullying that whole connection on some level. So now I can do it if you know, for certain pedestrian reasons, but on some levels, it's maybe not the best idea. And especially when we're getting 20 people that might not be appreciating what the situation is, or like up to 12 people that are all in a circle that are going to make ridiculous comments, that's really not going to be respecting the spiritual energy.
Now, Darren, we do have a caller I wanted to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll just take the caller then.
Okay. And then we'll continue our seance discussion.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, yeah, how are you?
With good. Well, not, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to fight a little bit of a head cold from the
oh,
up and
that's a bummer.
City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
a lot of walking around
through.
The city in the last 4 days for costuming and all that jazziness, which is fun. But,
oh, it must have been fun.
Yeah, but I'm not bad otherwise. I had a nice, peaceful day at home. What's your name?
I'm Donna. Hi.
Donna, hi. Thank you for holding. Have you had an experience with the seance that you wanted to share, or?
Well, I go to this spiritual church where I live, and we had a table, and we'd ask the table questions, and we'd just put our hands like 5 inches above the table, and the table would rock, and it would rock one way for the yes and one way for the no answers.
Oh, wow.
So
okay. So you had a good now it was in a spiritual church, you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So did you feel that you charged the space with a lot of positive energy, that when you entered, it was all focused on a positive connection with spirit and...
Well, yeah, the whole church is like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like we get messages from spirit and, yeah, I mean, that's what the whole church is about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and
so
then
cool.
did you gain any actual like information that you felt was very relevant and happy or peaceful or like that was proactive in your life or moving forward?
In the church?
Or in those
sessions? But I see them once in a while, the spirits. I can't make it happen, but I see them. And I hear them. But I can't hear and see them at the same time.
Oh, you hear them as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it doesn't. It happens every two to three months. They'll come around a lot. And the other one, about a couple weeks ago.
You go weekly
said
to this church, Donna?
I go weekly. Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask you what they're? I mean, are they like a nationally recognized church,
uh-huh.
or
yeah,
oh, okay.
It's a nationally recognized church.
And then is the goal to kind of group wise to kind of heighten your psychic abilities and your
yeah
as
they
a,
have
as
classes
medium,
every
or?
Week yeah they have classes every week.
Mm-hmm.
We may have a, them around here actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure.
Arlington
you
Medicaid.
Probably do. Yeah, and
yeah,
then you'll go and they'll
California
say,
or.
Yeah, Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara, okay, that's good.
Yeah, it's called Church of the Comforter.
Oh, beautiful, okay. And that's actually where the show Psych is.
Where what?
that show on USA, Psych.
Oh.
Is about, it's about Santa Barbara. So I was just kind of making a comment.
Oh,
for somebody
oh,
that
I didn't
works in
that.
The industry, I find it's a funny show. But it's, of course, about somebody who's a... You know, I'll say psychic, but it's a fun show. And it takes place in Santa Barbara, so.
Nice. Oh, I didn't know that, huh?
Yeah, it's about Santa Barbara. Like, all the crimes they saw were all around Santa Barbara. So it's kind of
oh.
At any rate, my problems, I don't have a problem, but, like, basically my dilemma is that I think that it's great to kind of forge ahead and be a courageous person, kind of, okay, checking out these, you know, delving into the spiritual realm like this. I just get concerned for you and for what you're kind of running into and coming in contact with, and just making sure that it's all, like, that you have kind of some spiritual protection on, you know, because you're saying that you're also having an open channel that occasionally on a, you know, bi-monthly or tri-monthly basis, you're seeing, you know, very realized manifestations, visual manifestations of spirits.
Yeah.
Does that frighten you? And sometimes you can hear them, so.
No, oh, yeah. Well, there's one I hear all the time, and he says, I'm honored. And he said it like 4 different times. And I'm thinking it must have been somebody in my family or something, and they're honored that I can pick up on them. So they're getting a little closer. But it used to be like I'd be in my bedroom and I'd see one passing the door, and that would startle me a little bit, like a teenager. And I, you know, it's like, whoa.
Teenager.
You know?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I get the kids around me. And then
yeah.
I was taking care of this lady, and she used to see them. She was like 90. And one time I went into her back room, and sure enough, I saw like 10 of them in the room. They were all kids. They were like 8 to 12 years old. And so she would talk to them all the time, and I saw them, so I knew for sure she was, you know, telling the truth, you know.
Right now I'm not feeling like there's anything terribly bad about what you're saying to me, you know, like, so, you know, as a,
no.
If I'm just asking my spirit guide, usually, you know, logically I would think that might, you might have a really open channel and that might be a little bit, you know, almost in a bad way, but I asked my spirit guide and I'm not getting anything bad about it. I think that maybe you're meant to be a touchstone for these spirits. And have you ever helped walk one into the light?
Once, yes.
Okay, all right, you have done
yeah.
it. Okay. Isn't
yeah.
it kind of a, it's a little bit of a harrowing experience, right?
Yeah,
you say?
It is.
It's
yeah.
like talking to somebody and actually, it can be the most beautiful thing. Like for me, it's like the most, it's really beautiful. And it depends on, I guess, how far along you're following along with what's happening, but it's what how would you comment on it?
It was, I think they kind of get lost, some of them, and you know they really don't know what to do. And I think that when they're passing over on the other side and they're supposed to go to that, they don't somehow, and so they get lost. And I think it's good because I think that's where, you know, they all belong, to tell you the truth, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And now depending on, I think that there's different sort of spirits that are stuck, and like how stuck are they in Sheol or in, you know, purgatory or just on Earth. And I think that there's a lot of different ways that their emanation is still here. And some are just totally here. They have autonomical, like they can sense things, they understand what's going on, and some are just a residue. Like maybe that kid that you saw walking back and forth from your doorway, do you feel like he was a residue, or do you feel like he actually knew what was going on and could make decisions?
I felt that she could make decisions.
Okay. So then going
yeah.
up to that person and saying, okay, let me open a channel into this radiant place where God is waiting for you, and then making them realize that that's the best thing to do. My experience was, it's like talking to somebody who is almost like carving, you know, they're whittling a flute, and then they whittle another flute, and then they're just doing the same thing a lot of the time. And then it's like getting them to say, put the knife down, put the piece of wood down, just, I don't know why I said whittling a flute, but just stop what you're doing. Just, and listen, like, there's this light over here. If you just do this, then everything about pain, frustration, or fear, or just whatever is going on can be just kind of alleviated.
Yeah, but I find as I get closer to them, they disappear.
Okay, well, that's what you have
yeah.
to have a chance. You can hear stuff, so that means you can say stuff, too. Did you know that? Did you realize that?
Oh, yeah. One of them said to me, if you can hear me, then walk into the room. So I walked
into
the
room. Did you walk in the room?
To let them know that I could hear them.
Okay, well, usually, Donna, what I would say to you would be, oh, my gosh, I'm a little concerned that you're listening to spirits and give you directions, and that could lead to, you know, some really odd situations for you or not so good. However, I think that you are a medium, and I think that you do have quite a clear, open channel, and I think that you're very protected in yourself
yeah,
and
I am.
In your energy center. So being that you're protected, you can continue to do what you're doing. You know, being someone that's also in that realm of protection, as long as I'm careful, I can do a lot of that as well. So I think that what you're doing is great. Just make sure
yeah,
that,
because
you
I
know.
Don't,
oh, go
yeah,
ahead.
I don't
I'm
deviate
sorry.
From God at all. I mean, because my my center is in God, my heart and soul, and so I never deviate from that center at all. So, you know, I'm very strongly grounded. I'm very strongly grounded.
That's the secret. I mean, it shouldn't be a secret, and I share it with people constantly, but you need a foundation, a spiritual foundation. Now, I don't like to get denominational, and I myself am not extremely denominational, but after Halloween, we had some really interesting energies in here. So, you know, I have like 8 candles up to St. Michael right now, and I'm just clearing. And it doesn't really, I don't really need to do it, but St. Michael's like an energy for me that I use to clear just anything heavy or anything, you know. And this city gets, because it's so electromagnetically charged, there's just all sorts of rampant stuff. We had like Day of the Dead yesterday, you know, so I just.
What city are you in?
New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. I love that city.
It's beautiful. Yeah, no, it's very vibrant, but we have a lot of people visit, and they bring whatever they add with them, and everybody goes running around in costumes, and they get drunk, you know, so it's a lot flying around at once. So what I like to do is just kind of clear a lot, and that's what that foundation is, you know, and I totally agree with you. So this is interesting that you guys are finding a format to do with just kind of a, now do you guys join hands or you keep your hands in kind of a, almost a diamond shape around the table that you're using or?
No, it doesn't matter. There's no special way. We just put our hands on top of the table, about 6 inches above the table, and we're standing around the table, and it just takes off. It's amazing.
Okay, and then you just, now, do you open with, a prayer of sorts?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's just more of like a clarifying energy sort of prayer, and then ask that the spirits that want to make themselves heard be heard and that sort of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
And then individually we can ask for a certain spirit to come through that maybe we want to come through.
Well, that's a good idea. Okay. And then have you had anybody from your family specifically show up at all? Or?
Oh, I see my mother all the time. She's on the other side. I see her. Yeah. And this is the strange thing. I'll have friends over to my house, and I won't even mention it to them, you know, that I see spirits and all. And my friend was on the pull-out couch in my living room with her 2-year-old daughter, and she said, there was a woman sitting on the edge of my bed, and she described her, and it was my mother. Yeah. And she saw her, too. And then another friend that I had visiting from Europe, she came over and she said, I heard your mother. She said, she told me to tell you to put your energies into yourself. And that was my mother saying all the time.
And what?
She picked up on it.
Beautiful. See, is that not validation or what?
Yeah.
That's incredible validation. Now, what was going, was there a specific reason you think she gave you that message or?
Because I picked up like her growing up. I was always doing for everybody. Everybody else but me. And I picked it up from my mother because she was doing it all the time. So then my life has been doing it all the time. And I didn't know how to stop doing it because that's what I learned, kind of, you know.
As an example. I mean, people got to know that too. When you see your family, you know, your parents do something, I mean, we got to replicate it. I mean, it's like almost, it's just something we do. But I know that my friends, that when if you spend a lot of time with me, you're going to see, you know, like my wife, she was very iffy about the encounters she's had, and she knows she's such spirit, but she's just one of those people that didn't want to, and she's like in the funeral business, she's a mortician, you know, so she doesn't want to see anything. Like, that's because she deals with bodies all the time, in and out, or, you know, like presenting them to the families and stuff. But one day I went into the vestibule of, like, one of their chapels with her, and sure enough, we both saw the same sort of manifestation of a woman with her attaché and everything, and she screamed because she knew it was not a living person. But when I told her exactly what she saw, then there's just no discounting it. And that was about, like, 2 months into our relationship. And that's because the more time people spend with me, spirits are active around me all the time. But what I do is I do a very strong method of shutting down their visual presence so I don't see them all the time, because I just would rather not.
How do you do that?
Because I have to do it for a living. You know, I work as a medium. I work as an empath and a spiritual advisor and a spiritual worker. So when I have to talk to a spirit, then that's great. But that's work, so I don't want to be working all the time.
How do you shut them out? Do you have special crystals or something?
There's a book called The Psychic Energy Workshop. There's methods that Edgar Cayce has taught, and I think that maybe if you look at the resources they have in your church, they may be able to provide it for you.
I'll ask.
Because you sound like you have, you know, you have a huge channel like I do, and it's something that might make you a little bit interesting as a teenager, and might make you, you know, people might be like, what's going on with this room? But it's something that, and I think you're dealing with it well because of your foundation, but at the same time, I don't really, you know, I've lived in Savannah for years too, and New England and certain areas that are just very old, and I just see stuff all the time. So that's where, how much of an imposition is it? And just because they want to get your attention, they shouldn't have to be able to get your attention, because then it just, at some point, you know, it just can become a little extraneous.
It used to take my energy when I'd see them. Like in my brain, it's like, oh, I feel a little zapped or depleted. But that doesn't happen anymore when I see them. I don't get that depletedness.
You may have found a way to reposition yourself, so you're not empathically pulling in what's going on with their situation.
Yeah, yeah.
You may be really centered in yourself, so you're seeing but not sensing as much. Because sensing is where you have a huge, I mean, for a lot of people if people would see what you've seen, that could be a harrowing experience to the point of where they would have a hard time getting over it for a long period of their life.
Seeing my mother and all, that's
beautiful. No, I'm saying the other apparitions or a room full of that. I've seen a ballroom full of apparitions. I've seen, you know, and
they're not
for somebody,
all good. They're not all good. They're not all good, though. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
some people wouldn't be able to get over that for years or ever. difficult.
Yeah, but I know that I don't have to, you know, I still am grounded in the reality of living in this life. Do you know what I mean? With human beings and all. So when they do come upon me and this and that,
You know you're stronger because you know you're alive, and then you're in your own spirit, and you have that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I tell people that all the time when I go to like a haunting, or I have to go and maybe lift the spirit. And that's what I'm trying to do, is lift them into the light. So sometimes with the haunting, they're not interested. I mean, it's like talking to somebody who is adamantly trying to do something that you know isn't right, and then you have to first convince them that that's not a good idea, and then you got to convince them to say, hey, why don't you do something that's totally off of your agenda, and maybe consider going into the light. And then it's like, well, what are you talking about now? And that's just a huge, that's not easy. But if anything, you just push them out, and then that's not easy either. But depending on what's going on, obviously.
Also, if they're not with God, they don't believe in God and this and that, I don't allow them in the house. I let them know it.
That's my method. I say, if they're not aligned with the unconditional light and love of God, then you got to go. Sorry. And then the last one I had was funny because, like, he tried to act like, oh, I'm not, it's cool. I asked if, and Daniel Michaels heard this already, but I grabbed this vase that kept manipulating this vase that was there. It was one of these objects that kept, like, moving around to freak people out. So I grabbed the vase and I said,
has this base been moved with any malign intent? Because I kept getting this feeling like, no, there's nothing wrong. I'm just a ghost. I'm here to just hang out. And we heard an audible, me and the two other people in the room heard, no, like that.
Oh.
And so you should have seen the
oh,
two of them.
My God.
Because they've never heard, you know what I mean? They knew that I was coming over. And I told them, like, some weird stuff. If I'm coming over to do what I'm going to do, you know, get the dogs out of the house. You know, I don't want any dogs going crazy. I don't want, because who knows, you know. And so I showed up, and then they heard the look on their face was like, oh, my gosh, because they'd never heard anything. They couldn't believe it. It wasn't, like, super loud, but it was definitely audible to a point of where nobody is irrefutably like a no. So we got an answer, and the answer was but after I started kind of moving around the house more, I realized that was a deceptive answer. That was a deceptive answer. There are people there that are trying to live, and their day-to-day life is getting disrupted because of things that it's doing that are kind of either annoying or mischievous or whatever. So there is malign intent, and, you know, I'm not going to fall for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually being fooled there. Like, wait a second. So that's where, you know, you have to go, okay, what's going on here? And then sometimes it's the tough love thing, and the tough love thing is you need to go. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you know what? The people that are alive, they need, this is their turn to live, and you had
yep.
yours. You know, so if you're not, and if you don't want to go upstairs, go into the light, then you can't be here. So figure it out.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. You got to set the boundaries. I know you have to because, you have to protect yourself.
You do every day, I'm sure. I'm sure your home has some activity. Would you live by yourself, Donna? Or?
Well, no, I have my sister living on my couch in the living room now for a year. Helping her out.
All right, well, we won't go into that one.
No, it's really good. No, I'm happy. I'm happy to have her. It's
well,
good.
You love your sister.
Yeah.
I mean, I will
I
let
do.
My sister
I love
stay.
Her. I love her
my
so much. Is,
yeah. I love my sister. But
it's nice
so
to have family around.
Do you have activity in your house?
Yeah.
Okay. So you
oh,
must
yeah.
keep a very strong lock on what's going on in your house.
Yeah,
and I'm asking this as somebody else that I have to make sure that everything in the house, everything is cool all the time. That's just
yeah,
the way
I mean, it's my sanctuary. You know, I meditate
right.
here. I go into silence here. You know what I mean? It's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. You got to make sure everything's cool. I mean, that's
I want to sleep well. And I want to ask you a question. I just got on this eHarmony. I'm trying to meet a guy, and... you see it? We having any luck with it? I've never been on one of these.
Yeah, I'll look at it. I do a lot of my centered ritual stuff. I have a temple area that I work with, but that's because, you know, this is the business I'm in, whatnot. But so that way, a lot of extraneous, you know, a lot of the visualization stuff and meditation I do is outside of the actual house.
Mm-hmm.
But so that helps not getting a lot of, you know, depending on what I'm praying for and stuff involved in the other energies here. But I find that have you ever tried a technique where you're envisioning like almost kind of waves of like a whirlwind, sort of almost a tornado-like hurricane wind sweeping into a room and then kind of touching all the outer walls and kind of just vibrating around them and collecting all negative energy and then pushing it out?
I actually saw that once. My mom passed away in her room,
mm-hmm.
and then they took her away. And then the
uh-huh.
next day, I opened the front door, and this little hurricane, maybe 4 feet high, like a whirlwind, came through, went into the living room, down the hall, into the room where she was, where her bed was, and then went out the door. I couldn't believe it.
Unbelievable. That's curious. I haven't mentioned that technique or describing anything like that to anybody. And unless they were taking my psychic energy workshop, I have never described that on the radio or anything. That's interesting.
Wow. Wow, yeah.
And it's like that, and she communicated with you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like then all this, she was very sick, you know, she was very sick. And so it's kind of like it all went out.
Here, let me look at what we have as far as for you on, you said eHarmony?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. One moment. Daniel Michael, how you doing?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm still here.
All right. Red, gold, or green?
Gold.
What, red, gold, or green?
Gold.
Gold, okay. All right. Let's take a look. And Donna, eHarmony, some positive energy happening. Let's see what's going on. A lot of this, unfortunately, these responding to these posts and things like that from these people, it seems a little ephemeral to you. It seems like there's nothing concrete there. There's no solidarity. It seems like these people might want to meet once or twice, and it doesn't seem like anyone's bringing their real energy to the fore. It doesn't seem like they're bringing their real self into the equation, and it makes you feel like I don't know. I don't. You're more of a, being an empath like you are. You need to. It's almost better for you to get a sense of somebody before you even open up a discussion about dating.
Yeah.
Which is making this whole process a little bit difficult. So I'm talking about you and not the situation. I'm seeing. I get the Four of Swords and the Ace of Pentacles inverted, and they both are speaking to me of your thoughts being a little uneasy and restless about this, and then the Ace of Pentacles being inverted means you'd like someone to really build something with. And all of this feeling of everything being ephemeral is, you know, when I say ephemeral, it's something you can't, it's not anything that's going to really affect your life in the long run. So what I want to ask now is there something you can do to get the most out of this situation with eHarmony? And the most you want out of it is to actually, you know, to find that person that you can spend, you know, set up a solid situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just ask my spirit guide right now.
Okay.
I'm going to ask about Donna really getting the most out of this site and kind of, okay. Okay. You're going to have to pray. The best thing that you accomplish in your life, for you, not for everybody, because some people don't even know how to try to do this, is to lower your thoughts, lower what's in your head, and go through spirit and ask God to intervene and send that person through the website through to you. To just send them to you. Because there's a lot of detritus on that site. There's a lot of bullshit. And there's a lot of wasted time. And you're not somebody that likes to waste their energy and waste their time. And it's been hard to process already. So I'm going to say just ask them to send you somebody right away through that. And then let me look. Will it happen? Hold on. Yeah. Okay, this is who you're looking for, Page of Pentacles. Page is somebody who is starting a new lease on life, starting new things, starting some new fitness and new financial ventures, meaning they're doing this whole cleanse, this whole body thing. Maybe you go to any of these like co-op-y type places, the shop for nutritional stuff at all?
Well, yeah, I go to Whole Foods and Lazy Acre.
So you do some of that, right? This is somebody that maybe has never tried a lot of that, but is trying it now. It's somebody that you can relate to. Yeah, and it's somebody who is building some financial ventures that he's not totally at, you know, he's not so savvy. That's why he's the page. He's kind of learning some stuff. He's learning some. He's kind of got that whole kind of starting a new positive physical outlook on life and starting some new financial adventures. And I think you're somebody that you could kind of link up with that. Now, if you're thinking, oh, gee, no, I'm not a fitness nut, or no, I'm not this ridiculous raw food person or anything like that, well, probably neither is he. But he needs somebody that maybe that
it's
you guys could
to
learn
do it
together.
With somebody. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's good to do it with somebody.
Right, right. I think that that's where the connection is. Hold on. Okay. He's been struggling with a lot of this malaise with these websites, too. What he wants is somebody to get the Four of Cups upside down. A lot of this kind of like, I want to have this idealized vision of things. I'm dealing with a lot of BS, and I'm not happy with any of it. And also, he has a couple. He's going to have a couple different things going on. You know, everyone has baggage, but, you know, he's just had some very substandard kind of dating situations maybe in the past 6 months. And they've just been, I say substandard because it just, you know, he puts all his energy out there, and then it's kind of just goes flat, and it's not for his lack of trying, and it's kind of almost not because they didn't think he was the kind of guy they want to date. It just, I don't know, sometimes people really have their guard up with these sites. They really don't. You don't bring it all to the table sometimes because you don't want to scare somebody away. So now this person, you get this fragment of yourself. So there's all these fragments floating around talking to each other.
Well, that's the process of getting to know someone. I mean, that's why it's good to be friends for a while. Do you know what I mean? Because then you start learning, you know, learning little things, and you can disclose things.
But I'm telling you what
you
he's feeling when you meet him, where he's coming from when you meet him.
Yeah,
you know?
It all comes down to acceptance when, you know, disclosing and how you get along. And,
well,
it's a lot of
things.
This
is somebody that you're probably going to spend a little time with. And if you pray, you can maybe bring his energy in a little bit quicker, is what my point is.
Oh, okay.
And I picked the second card to kind of give me a window into, well, what's up with this? You know, give you a little more information about it.
Okay.
Because that's what people do there. Well, give me a little more, tell me a little more information on that. Okay. So I do see somebody. Somebody came up. But I had to I had to be a little bit more linear with it and do a laser focus and say, if you kind of ask higher energy for it, ask God for the situation, how's it going to turn out? And somebody came up, I got a face card is what I mean. I did not get a face card. So not the Page of Pentacles. I could have got Judgment, which would have meant you're not meant to meet anybody. You're not meant to use websites. You're meant to meet somebody in an organic, natural situation like at work or at the farmer's market or, you know, at your church. And then it would have been this whole other conversation. But no, I got the Page of Pentacles. So there is something you can utilize this site for.
Okay.
It's tough for people that are connected with higher energy to use some of these sites because it's so based on logistics and pictures and stuff like that. And it's stuff that we can't feel through energy sometimes.
No, you can't. You can't feel the energy. You know, if you're looking at a picture or whatever, it's all fantasy anyways. You know what I mean? It's all projection and fantasy, and you don't know for sure. You know what I mean? You have to. That's why I think it's better to just kind of meet. Just meet them.
I'm
not
so glad.
Too much on the
I'm
phone
so glad.
Or anything.
Yeah, that's why I really... I just met my wife. We got introduced by a friend, and I just felt, you know, like you felt that giant cathartic thing where it's like you know something's changing, and that's it.
Oh, you felt it right away?
Oh yeah.
That's great.
Uh huh. Like oh my gosh. So then it's like okay, if that person's if they're playing ball. Then you're ready to play, you know. But it's just finding out if they are, and then when you find out they are, you're like, whoa. And then you're in it, you know, at that point. But that's I know so many. My cousin met his wife on Match.com. You know, like there's so many great stories, and they're there. But it's getting through that stuff, and I think that you can utilize this, but you have to keep yourself very pure and spiritual, and kind of know. when you're getting the right response from the right person.
Go on the instincts, because I got on one, people meet people or something like that, and a guy sent me his photograph, and he looked nice and all, and then we emailed back and forth about 10 times, and then he said, can I have your number? So I said, okay, and he called me, and when I heard his voice, I felt this awful pit in my stomach, and I thought, uh-oh, something's wrong. And then as he continued to talk, he had a Uganda accent. He was not who he said he was.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do you own your own home? How many people do you live with? And he started scaring me a little bit, you know? I just, you know, I didn't tell him anything. I just, you know, oh, yeah, there's about five people living here. I live
and
with my
really
parents.
And you really isolated it as a Ugandan accent.
No, I know that accent, though, from
oh,
the
Oh, wow, okay,
TV.
You're familiar with that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, I'm good with languages.
To be able to isolate it. Oh, well, then you mustn't. I know I had so many friends that were Nigerian. I left after Katrina and went to Washington, D.C., and I was there for about 3 years or so. And I lived in Northern Virginia, but that's where I met Daniel Michael, who's on the show. But I had so many, like, little friends and stuff in the area that were from Nigeria. I mean, it was, like, unbelievable. I could totally recognize that accent if I heard it.
Oh, yeah, I've had many accents.
Not an idea, or Ethiopian, too.
Or Ethiopian, yeah. But it was just a scam. It was a big scam.
That's horrible.
Yeah. And my girlfriend had another experience.
Why did they pick? And they, oh, yes, send me $500.
Oh,
I need a plane
ticket
to come soon.
My friend had a similar experience, and the guy said he was over in Europe and on business, and he left his computer in the taxi, and if she could send him a new computer to Europe. I mean, my gosh. And there's a way of checking on the computer where the email's coming from.
Wow.
Yeah. So now she texts right away to see what country it's coming from. You know?
It's unbelievable.
And a lot of times they have a fit. Yeah.
It's unbelievable that you know, that we still are faithful. And, you know, and you do meet people on the Internet. You do meet these sites. And the sites that have more control are the better ones to use, obviously. But that's where it's you got to have some faith and got to believe. And that's why faith is what's going to get you what you want out of e-harming. You know, it's not going to be the man that shows up in your cubicle on the commercial. It's like, hey, you having a good experience? Well, that's why, you know, Ed, we had so many couples. Yeah, no, okay, you need faith, and you need to believe that this is a conduit for you to meet who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
You know, I had
exactly.
Really goofy little friend, and I knew that there's a reason I was friends with her. She's 23. I'm 39. You know, I don't know. She's got blue hair. She's super fun, but she's 23. Like, we don't have a lot of similar interests. But, you know, she would be the cashier and pitch the readings for whoever the psychic was at the shop. So I'm like, okay. And, you know, we would be, you know, stay in touch or whatever, but she's the one that introduced me to my wife. Why am I hanging? She asked me, hey, do you want to come meet my friends for a cocktail? And I'm like, And I did, and sure enough, so you never know. There's a reason.
Isn't that something? Wow.
There's a reason. There's a reason for things that happen, you know.
Yeah, but that's nice to think that everybody that you meet in your life that, you know, you can look at it as kind of sacred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that God has brought this person in your path.
There's a reason for everything, and there's probably a reason why you're such an open channel for spirit. And you may someday help a spirit go into the light again that will maybe be the reason why you can see spirits. So there is a reason for this. I don't think it's detrimental. Just please be careful.
I will.
Depending on who you bring in your circle when you're doing your table tipping and all that stuff, I mean, it just you got to just be careful. Make sure you have your foundation first and foremost. Okay? And it was really wonderful talking to you.
Thank you.
Please call in again.
Yeah.
Really nice
Have a very happy marriage.
Thank you. All right, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much, Donna. And remember, we're on every Sunday night, Donna, and she was a great caller, wasn't she?
Oh, yeah, she was terrific.
She had lots of interesting
lots to share about seances and,
mm-hmm.
and what positive elements we can look at with the seance. And
absolutely.
Really, you know, now for me, I've had some dramatically, theatrically bad experiences and been asked to do things with a seance that I just didn't agree with. But that's my experience, and here she's bringing to the fore several different churches that do a version of this, that they're actually, everyone's getting a lot out of it. So, okay.
Yeah, it is a funny thing because you're involving other people, and it's a group divination, and they're bringing all of their potential baggage with them, you know.
Mm-hmm. But they could be bringing potential good, too.
Exactly. It's like anything else. It's just another neighborhood, right? Just like those spirits, they're good and bad in any neighborhood.
Right. So that's it. It's tough to kind of, you know, I never sit and say, nope. I'm screaming at my deaf cat to get down. Hey, get off my potential dinner after the show. You never feel more impotent than screaming at a deaf animal that can't hear you and it's just flailing around across the room. It's just not good. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing you can do about it. Okay. So do you want to take another caller?
Yes. The one that's been waiting the longest is 619.
Okay. Hello. Thank you for calling Spiritual Insight.
Hi. It's Steve.
Welcome.
Thank you. Like a general, please.
General message, Darren.
Oh, a general message?
Yes, yes.
Okay, what's your name?
Steve.
Steve?
That's right.
Okay. What?
It's okay. His signal's breaking up. You're good. Go ahead. It's Steve.
It's Steve, okay. Red, gold, or green?
Green.
Green, okay. One moment. The general message for Steve.
Set back for just a second.
Mm-hmm. One moment. Trying to see what's going on with Steve presently and then moving forward from the present into what's coming up. Oh, nice. Okay, 1 second. All right. Okay, so, Steve, what we're looking at here is the emperor is someone who is a patriarchal figure, administrative. He wants to lend himself to you changing your outlook on things. So may I ask you what your relationship is with your father right now, and is he factoring into anything that's going on? What?
Deceased.
Okay, basically there's a father-like figure that wants to do it and kind of guide you into a path. You're resisting some of what the universe wants to give you right now. You have the Ace of Cups. The Ace of Cups is inverted. So there's a male energy, okay, that's powerful that wants to pull you in a direction. You're resisting your feelings and your emotions right now. The Ace of Cups is inverted. And the Six of Swords means that you're on this ship and you don't want to get on the ship because it keeps sinking, but you keep getting on it anyways. Let me ask my spirit guide. Hold on. You need to make a concrete decision about what you want that's good for you and your soul emotionally right now. You need to explore what you're feeling. Okay, what do you feel? What do you want to do? What's going to make you happy? Not listen to anyone. And then once you decide what you want, then you can ask other people's opinions. And if what they say coincides with what you want to do in the next 6 months, then that's what you do. Okay? So if you don't know what's happening, say, January through the beginning of summer, you need to figure out what your soul wants. Your soul and your feeling is the most important thing that's happening in your life right now. Because there's too many swords. There's too much thinking going on. It's not helping you. Too many different opinions.
So decision needs to be made with your heart. And if it's, I want to, you know, go to, you know, Cozumel and, you know, make tortillas, or I want to be, I want to go take a different degree program. I don't like what I've been doing. I want to do something that's a little bit more existential, a little bit more aesthetic. Then that needs to be addressed. I think that you're finding different ways of ignoring this, what your soul's saying. So don't ignore it. Enjoy your cup. Your card to focus on is the Ace of Cups. And that's pure feeling. And your Ace of Cups is inverted, so it doesn't need to be inverted. And maybe it's inverted because the Emperor is like blah, blah, blah in your ear. So he cares about you and wants to help you, but your soul needs to be owned and be respected as well. And that needs to happen.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you for calling, Steve. I hope that was helpful. General messages, they can be funny sometimes. Sometimes they're interesting because they reveal something that you didn't know you were was important. What I mean by that is sometimes we, what we're thinking about at the top of our head is what we think the swords is the problem, when in fact it's something intuitive and subconscious. And sometimes I think the general readings bring out that subconscious answer, if that makes sense.
You're right. I always try to steer people in a specific message, but a general message can be, and that's when I used to do this My Spirit meditation before Katrina all the time. And people would come in and just ask me to just straight mediumship. And that's why I did stuff about something that over and above answers the question, but it's not about their specific little focus that they had.
Right. It's the answer.
And
it's
that could be some of the best readings, actually.
It's the subconscious answer behind the conscious mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the superego behind the ego.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those can be really amazing. Yeah.
949, you're on the air.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi. I just wanted a general reading, but I mainly would like to focus on love. What do you see for me for love interest or love? Future.
Okay, we can do that. One moment. What's your name?
Selena.
Selena, oh, okay. Okay, red, green, or gold?
Green.
Green, okay. Okay. So Selena's interested in what's going on with some romantic situations coming up for her. What's happening? Are there any doorways opening? What's going on? This one. Hey, wow, good look. So I felt from my spirit guide immediately, like I felt like, oh, a jumpy, real fun sort of a vibrational thing. And then I saw like two like kind of purple and gold curtains kind of opening and parting for you. And then two different sort of situations that you can maybe kind of cycle into. And then there's maybe a third one down under that, wow, okay. So you're getting a little attention. So then I picked a card, now I got kind of directed to a card. I picked the card and I got the Seven of Cups, which validates what I was taught, what I was seeing. Okay, now let's go into the Seven of Cups. What's the Seven of Cups? This card itself has someone jumping on a Pegasus, and the Pegasus is just kind of riding up into the sky, just taking off. Up in the sky, there's seven different cups. Each represents another fantasy that we could achieve, any goals that we've had for our dreams. And now we're talking about you and your romantic focus. So the Seven of Cups would say, oh, my gosh.
Options.
You never thought maybe you maybe wanted to date a, you know, Australian guy. Or maybe you just wanted somebody who had so much money that you never would have to worry about money. Or maybe
So there's a lot of different nuances to these three different people.
Okay.
Yeah. So good. And I wouldn't get a jumped up sort of an energy focus like that, like a feeling, if there wasn't a reason to feel that way. And the reason, my friend, is that you're going to put yourself out there, and Selena, it's you're gonna see stuff immediately. So here's the thing. If you're ready to, if there's a couple different outfits you thought you might not want to wear, because oh, maybe I shouldn't wear that sort of thing, wear them. Because your feeling is right. You know, it's not a lie. There's a reason. Somebody, if you're getting a feeling like you should be a little bit sexy one night, then you definitely should, you know. Now, we've been talking about blah, 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 website. Are you involved with some stuff with websites and stuff or what?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. What's your feeling about it? What's your experience about it? Because I think you might be like, if you keep pulling the lever, you're going to hit the jackpot, because what it sounds like. That's just what it is. I don't get a big shiny purple curtain parting, and I felt like, woo, like, oh, like someone goosed me real quick, you know, and I was like, wow, okay. So, if you have any prospective dates coming, well, maybe I should crunch the numbers and look at specifically what you have to look forward to.
I don't have any dates set up at all. I had a couple dates, nothing special, and then I stopped.
My feeling is like it's a week and a half, maybe from now, where you start, you get like three, boom, boom, boom. You get two. And then, like, the third one is, like, maybe a week after that. But they're all prospects. They're all, like, they're all okay enough that maybe you might be interested. But then you have to start thinking, well, who do I want to take more seriously? And that's up to you.
Okay.
You know, so you will get an energy bump there. I think you've needed one. 1 second, hold on. I don't know what it is with father figures right now. What's going on with like an older male figure in your life? I don't want to say father because it might be somebody else that's like some people. There's just something, there's some kind of energy behind you that feels like it's kind of being supportive or something like that. I'm not sure what that is exactly.
Oh, that's being supportive?
Yeah.
My father?
I don't know why that's coming up. I'm just getting hot on the ass.
I'm just thinking maybe my father.
Well, I would assume, but see, when I say your father sometimes, I don't know. Hold on. Let me ask.
Are you talking about a person?
Does your father have money?
No.
I mean, is
he passed.
Well off? Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Can you? What?
No.
No. No. All right, then. Hold on.
Someone in that has passed away, or someone that's in the living?
All I saw was a patriarchal figure behind you, and supportive of you. Hold on. Let me ask why I saw that. Okay. We're asking for messages that you need to know coming up. We're asking about relationship situations. And we're seeing a father figure. There may be an option for you. Didn't I say something about endless money and stuff? I just got the Ten of Pentacles, which is a big bag, a giant bag of money. And then I saw some guy behind you as a father figure. So he may be somebody that's like a little scooch older than you normally date. Maybe somebody that looks a little bit more patronly than you might maybe normally consider. However, he's very, very nice, and he has a big bag of money for you. Not that he's going to hand you a bag of money, but you get my point. Or do you get my point?
Oh, you're talking about someone in the living?
Yes, someone who's living.
Okay.
Well, there's a guy.
I'm not saying you know this person at this point. I'm saying that I think that it's part of this whole dating equation that I'm looking into. Okay. For a minute, I thought maybe it was your father, but I asked to clarify, and then I got the Ten of Pentacles. So unless he's really financially affluent, it's just basically it's not about your father. There's something else going on. This guy's a little older, so he has patriarchal energy. Now, I don't think you know this person yet because this is, we're asking about your possible dating stuff. I'm trying to fine-tune what you have to look forward to.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to give you more information. You get my meaning now?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. So I'm trying to say there's a guy with an older dude with extra money. One of your options.
Extra money.
Extra money, flavor money. Like, I can, okay, great.
Oh,
IPA, you know, like, okay. Like, what color do you like the car in? Because it's not a problem. Money. It's just a matter of you doing how shallow am I? You get my point. Do we make concessions on that realm? Or how important is it? And is this person amazing? And the Ten of Pentacles means you won't have to worry about anything. Okay? But that's
okay.
Here, let me hold. Where I wanted to make sure it wasn't your dad coming in to give you a bunch of money for some reason. I just wanted to make sure that wasn't the case. So hold on 1 second. Then I got the Queen of Pentacles. Right side up. What? Suddenly you're just like relaxing, like, okay, now I don't have to worry about money. I'm the Queen of Pentacles. Someone had the Ten of Pentacles over here. He doesn't show up as a face card, and you know why? Because maybe you don't. He doesn't push it on you today. Listen, maybe you learn to come around to respect. Now, this is what I think. If you give him a real shot, then you can at least say, let's, you know, be serious about each other, and then he'll start kind of helping out a lot and doing extra stuff financially, and then you'll see if you're comfortable with it. And then if you want to get engaged or something, then that's a whole other story. But he still makes you feel like a queen right off the rip, which is, who can argue with that?
No, nobody.
That's not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Look, this is the thing. The Seven of Cups, that's the first card, right? That's any fantasy you want. And what can he do with money? Buy a ticket to Fantasy Island or Hedonism 3, whichever one, you know, whatever cruise you want. Oh, my God, it's stuff that you might not ever consider. Have you ever met somebody that had this money that you were dating? I'm asking you a question.
What now?
Have you ever dated somebody with, like, ridiculous amounts of money?
Yes.
Okay. So this is another option for you here to cycle into that. That might make some other fantasies you had about what you could do a reality. Now, there'll be two other people, too, that might be other fantasies for you that might also be an option. However, I think you're going to go with option A because I see you as a Queen of Pentacles over here.
Oh, okay.
And that's okay. Now, I'm not trying to say he's not an attractive person. I don't even know. I have no idea. I think that maybe he is maybe not exactly your normal type, but that's okay. Sometimes we don't know what our type. We think we know what our type is, and then things change and adapt a little bit.
Okay.
Cool.
All right.
Now, Selena, you're welcome. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been to a seance?
Have I ever been in a seance?
Yep.
No, I have not.
Okay. If someone asks you to go to a seance, now we're just getting some feedback from everybody, you know. So
yeah,
if someone asks you to go to one, what would you say?
Would I go to one? Yes, I would go to one. Okay. But definitely, like you were saying earlier, I would definitely be careful also in a situation like that. But I would go to one, depending on the situation.
Okay. And then you mentioned that was it somebody that was passed away. So who would you want to get in contact with if you were to do that?
Well, I've been in contact with both of my parents. Both of my parents have passed away.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Want to get in contact with them, and there's other relatives, my grandparents, and.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to say that I don't know exactly why I brought your father up, but I mean, I must have felt something. So, you definitely, I mean, the energy's there. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that has to do with this money, and I don't think it has to do with your dating situation, but I do think it has to do with something about your father and your connection to him. So it did pop up. So. That's
okay.
A good thing.
That's a good
thing.
Sounds great.
All right. Great.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Have a
nice
bye.
Day. Bye. I wanted to say, too, as well, if you want to get a hold of me, anyone that's listening, dbucare, D-B-U-C-A-R-E, at gmail.com. Or you can call Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Darren. I wanted to bring up another aspect that's often never, well, I won't say never because that's just silly, but is often not talked
about. Never brought up, ever. Never brought up by anyone.
What I mean is a lot of times when people talk about seances, I think there's something else that's overlooked entirely. And what I mean by that is people always say talking to a departed loved one or to a person that died. But what about using group seance, perhaps in its original format, maybe that could be a subject for debate, in that you're just asking spirit for a message or even deity or whatever your chosen deity form is instead of some, you know, Bob, you know, who died last year kind of a thing.
Well, that happens all the time. That's what they're
right.
trying to pay me for, you know, to do on the 26th. And I said no because... Who knows who's going to come through that doorway? I don't play
right.
that game.
Because.
And that's why. And that's honestly, I love, as much as I just adored Donna, I thought she's a great caller. That sounds like what they're doing. And I wouldn't be part of that.
Now,
I don't just say, hey, who wants to talk to me? Because I'm a medium. Like, I get stuff. So
right.
I can't just, if I just throw the doors open and say, who wants to talk? Let's go. Like, I don't know who's going to come running down the hallway. So I'd just rather just say, okay, take a ticket, sit in the lobby, and then let's still talk to whoever, you know, I need to talk to about whatever we need to talk about.
But what if you call a very specific name? I could use any example, whatever your deity form is. It could be, you know, Archangel Uriel.
Okay, let's say it's Tyrannus, the god of thunder, okay? Or the god of
yeah.
lightning. Or, okay.
Now, is it better to be specific like that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always better to be specific because now, could you just get someone's attention that you might not have knew about that might have wonderful energy or information and would they share it with you and you just discovered something amazing? It's entirely possible.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also insanely dangerous.
Yeah.
It's just
it's
dangerous. It's like this. That's why I keep giving, like, the idea. Oh, I was talking to my aunt earlier. And my aunt's like my cousin. She's about 5 years older than me. So, Aunt Peggy. So her daughter, 14. So her daughter's really my cousin. So she's 14. My little cousin, Megan... It went to some teenage... Oh, I told them to call in tonight, too, but they didn't call. She probably looked up. She went to some teenage little get-together, and they all did a Ouija board. Okay. And they called, like, you know, they talked to some... So they talked to this first spirit, and his name was Adam. And then they talked to this other spirit, and his name was this. So there's some other four-letter word. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to tell you something. And I want you to freak your daughter out, my cousin out, but she shouldn't be speaking to anybody over a Ouija board. It just, it's like running up to somebody on the street and screaming in their face and slapping them in the face. I mean, that's the thing, like with a seance is maybe a little more, I mean, a little more structured. And when you have several people, that are combining their energy. Not that they're saying that you're not doing that with the Ouija board, because that's entirely possible too. But you're still just saying, hey, whoever random person walking by, please answer our call and come into manifest yourself in some sort of form.
And that becomes one of the debates is, of course, with Ouija boards as well, what if you're using it as a divination tool to talk very specifically, like, say, to your patron or matron deity? And that's one of the debates. Is that the worst thing you can do?
Oh, no.
And I'm not trying to take a side on the way Ouija boards.
Yeah, no, patron or matron deity is great.
Yeah, but the worst thing you want
to
do is
to open up a channel to straight channel to God, which, I mean, if you want to do that too, you can try that too. You know, if that's what you, the way you feel is the best way to communicate with that sort of energy and that sort of power.
I guess I can say that's the positive way I've heard, I guess, say, spirit words be used. Is
the
genuine...
I guess the problem I have with seances and Ouija boards, both of them, because,
mm-hmm.
yes, I go on record saying that I do... I don't have a huge problem with the seance if it's directed towards I want to talk to Grandma Josephine or to my wife when she, you know, she died and we were fighting that night and I would love to just find out. The thing is, I can ask my spirit guide that question. So for me, I don't really have to necessarily do a seance. If people wanted to contract me to do that and they wanted everyone to be present and everyone knew his wife, I might agree to that. That would be a time where I would say, okay, I'll do a seance. But as far as people just wanting a seance just to see what's out there, to like do like Star Trek and let's go,
take
out there and just see what's out, you know, where no man has gone before, it's like that's highly, highly dangerous. And I'm no, you know, I'm going to not do that unless I'm not doing it for entertainment purposes. It's the entertainment purpose that as somebody that works with actual manifesting, does spiritual work for people, I go into the unknown and manipulate things to help people achieve positive goals. I go into the unknown and ask information to help people achieve positive goals. I don't go into the unknown because wouldn't it be cool to see some weird stuff?
Yeah, and have a spooky experience in the graveyard or something like that.
Yeah, woo to do. Oh, I did that, and I did that for a couple years in Savannah, and yeah, that's need to be done again. That's what needs to be. Once you have achieved that and realized that spirit is, you know, spirits don't want to be a novelty, then you have to relearn that lesson again.
And Darren, you mentioned earlier a book about psychic energy. And it just made me think. I thought this might be interesting for the listeners.
Yeah, it's a great book. It's called The Psychic Energy Workbook. I taught a class on it at Sticks and Stones.
I think I remember that.
Here it is. Yeah, oh, it's awesome. Yeah, here, I'll go over it again. Psychic Energy Workbook, an illustrated course in practical psychic skills by Dr. R. Michael Miller and Josephine M. Harper. And they wear some wonderful, wonderful unitards in the pictures.
They're wearing like black skin tight attire, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Listen,
I remember.
This is a book from the 70s, but it is a book that people used to, you know, to achieve their goals and psychically, and just, I mean, well, obviously that's a obviously people used it at some point, but my meaning is this: this is a book that was used extensively for the, you know, the kind of research that really founded and propelled a lot of what happened. I mean, it was a late 70s book, but propelled a lot of what happened in the 80s as far as, you know, research into that sort of thing.
Right.
And which is where a lot of people got literature that they've studied a lot of, you know, their metaphysics that are now working in their fields now. You know, so it's relevant.
Yeah, it's one of those books that, you know, the info is being used, even if it's not accredited. And
oh, I think it's accredited too. Yeah, I don't. It's. I just have taught a class based on the book because it was one of the first. It's how I learned how to direct and channel chakra energy and what to do with it. all that jazziness.
Now, we were talking about opening channels, and I thought maybe with our 9 or 10 minutes left, maybe you could go into a technique or even just a protection or something you do. What do you do to encourage, recommend to do to open channels in a safe way?
Okay, so what do I, can you repeat that again?
But what would you recommend for opening channels to the spirit world in a safe way?
Okay. This is how I would go about opening channel to a spirit world, the spirit world, in a safe way. If you are a layman and if, you know, you don't really know any alternate ideas or have a method that you usually do. First, say a prayer. I'm going to say a prayer to God in the Christian sense, unless there's some, let's say the Lord and the Lady are better for you, or let's say Buddha is, maybe the Buddhistic sense of energy. I want to be connected with the powerful energy of all that is. That might be a way to say it in the Buddhistic sense. I'm not sure the best method. It really depends on your belief system. So let's just say you prescribe to the Christian God and you want to go that route. So let's say that. So I want to be connected with the higher light and unconditional love of God. I want to be surrounded and in a cosmic silver white light of protection. And then you want to visualize it from the tips of your toes encroaching slowly over your ankles, vibrating the whole time. You can feel this vibrating. You can feel it pulsing. You can feel the vibrational energy. Then that energy is cresting up past your ankles to your calves, moving up past your calves to your thighs and, you know, to your knees, and then you get the idea. But you're feeling the whole time that you're surrounded by this cocoon of energy. And then when it gets to your head, you can feel it pulsing on your crown chakra, opening it, but surrounding it in a sphere of protection on the point of your forehead where your third eye would be. And that's the point where we want to guard and shield what we pick up and what's coming in and what's going out. So then at that point, what you want to do is really feel that the circuit of silver white energy is cresting down to your feet and back up to your head and down to your feet and back up to your head. And it is forming kind of a pulsing almost just in the nature of just a circuit of energy back and forth and surrounding your body. Now you're doing that. You want to ask that you open a channel to the astral plane, or that, you know, you want to open a channel to spirit. So I would say, I would like to open a channel up. I would like to speak. Now, I would always ask my spirit guide to open the channel for me. Okay, now I work with a spirit guide, so how somebody would do that is not in tune with their spirit guide, they would maybe want to just ask their guardian angel, or just ask God, or ask the Lord and the Lady, ask the Lord, say, being the patriarch of the forest, open a channel through the forest, into the woods, into the spirit realm, into where I can see beyond sight. Please protect me while I'm there. Protect me with your branches and enclose me in your protection. But I want to speak through spirit to Aunt Martha, who did bad things and was locked up in jail and got murdered in jail. I want to know that she's okay, and I'd like to speak to her. And then what you get will hopefully protectively be Aunt Martha speaking back.
Right.
Can I recommend this for somebody that's not used to doing this? No, I would not recommend. Why? Because even after that ritual, depending on the person, I cannot guarantee, and I will not guarantee, anyone's safety. So that I want everyone to know that over the on the radio, that I can't guarantee. What?
And one thing I'd like to offer to that, or to add to that, is whenever we're doing these explorations, and we're all at different levels, you're at a different level, I'm at a different level, other people are at a different level. I remember one time a confirmation, and sometimes this can feel really important, especially when you're poking around on the other side a little bit, and experimenting.
And I don't like that word, poking around.
Oh, I'm saying that.
I'm
saying that just to be facetious.
I get your meaning, to
know
almost
what I mean.
Be playful. Yeah,
experiment, and in a positive, when you're doing these things, and I remember one time feeling like I had a confirmation in a dream, and I called up being surrounded by very disturbing, I mean, like, I can't even say on the radio how disturbing these forces were, or even what they looked like and how horrible they were, but calling upon, in this case, a matron deity of my own, and it worked perfectly. You know, her light came from her. I ran out of whatever I could do to defend myself in this dream. So we're not always all powerful. And it came from her, and they all backed off. And I remember thinking, that was a powerful dream. You know, it felt like a confirmation that if I call on her protection, it'll always work. Because she
was
giving me pretty nasty stuff in that dream.
Good. See that? Now, look. Now, there are some people that would say that that is Daniel's version of his spirit and elemental energy being able to be accessed through the goddess. I'm saying that it was probably the goddess showing up and protecting him. But you're welcome to take any different vision of that and go with it. But my point is, like, I could concur with that with saying that one of my first powerful magical things that I ever did was do a dreamscape meditation before I went to sleep every night, because a powerful haunting that was in one of my first apartments, I could not sleep. This spirit would come into my dreams every night. So I did kind of a message for Cyrodiil to protect my boat while I was sleeping. The boat that I'm sailing on through my dream will always be protected and shadowed by her. And I didn't really know very much about Cyrodiil at the time, other than the paragraph the book gave me. But I did a little benediction to her. I did a little prayer every night, and that spirit cannot penetrate my dreams ever. And it was
a
beautiful thing.
And that's why, or at least some people, in certain slightly more religious ways of viewing it, I guess, whether that be Christian or pagan or Buddhist or whatever it is, that can be the importance of personal relationship with whatever that deity form is. You mentioned St. Michael, or Archangel Michael, I'm sorry, that you've worked with regularly. It's like you're developing a personal relationship, and it makes you believe in their protection more.
So people do it all the time. You're developing a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you what, I haven't done a lot with Michael lately, so. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, I want the house to be a little bit more chill after Halloween, so I'm going to specifically do, you know, something with Michael this time, so that way, you know, I'm pulling that sort of powerful energy back. And I have to do a house clearing on Tuesday, so that's, I'm probably going to have to talk to him that day too, so. And I talked to a lot of other psychics and spiritual workers and mediums, and they all comment on how Michael is a very powerful energy to work with. Okay, meaning that it's not just his anthropomorphic looking like a human, you know, sized angel. He's an energy, a frequency. So when you pull that frequency in, it's used to canceling out negativity. So,
and it's like tapping into a frequency stream that people. You know?
Yes, they could have been tapping into this, not just the Christian idea of Michael, but they could have been tapping into this similar energy for countless eons of since humans first, maybe the Aboriginal people figured out how to tap into St. Michael, you know, how to use the bull roarer and like sweep it like 15 times in the air, and suddenly there's this energy that cancels out bad spirits that haunted them. And it just happens to look like a Christian ceremony using frankincense and a censer and swinging it around. It just happens to look like the same thing. Imagine that.
Yeah. And Darren, there's about 15 or so seconds left.
Well, thank you, everyone, for calling in.
Again, if you want to reach me for a private reading, dbucare, D-B-U-C-A-R-E, at gmail.com. And thanks again for listening to Spiritual Insight.
Good turn. Go again.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.